Hello, everyone. I hope you're having a great day already. My name is Charles Morgan, Word is Live Ministries, and thank you for listening to us. Thank you for supporting us. We just appreciate that. This ministry will continue as long as we can, and we want to reach everyone with the word of Jesus Christ, that gospel message. This morning, me in Galatians chapter 2. It's going to be an encounter between Paul, the apostle, and Peter, the apostle. Both of them were apostles, but they were on different paths. Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. Peter was the apostle to the Jews, and therein lies a problem. And we're going to see this. Now, Peter is an interesting character. In many ways, he's so strong. In many ways, he's kind of wishy-washy and doing things that we see. And, you know, in our world today, Christianity touts itself as, well, let's just get along with everyone and let's not say anything. If you tell someone the truth, if you tell someone that they're doing something wrong, then you're wrong and Jesus wouldn't do that. And we've got all kinds of messages out there. They're all false, all wrong, and it's caused the demise of the church. It's caused a downfall in the church because we don't tell people they're wrong. We don't tell people, we don't go to people the way we're supposed to, the way the scripture tells us, and tell them you are doing wrong here. You're outside of the scripture. You're not acting right. You're not saying the right things. I've seen churches where people are teaching falsely and no one will say anything to them. And when you do go and say something to them, everybody's like, well, why did you do that? You know, now they're upset because they were teaching false things. They didn't know. They haven't been schooled. They don't know the Bible enough to be teaching in the first place. And they were doing the wrong things. But if you say something, everybody's all, well, we can't do that, you know, and everyone's afraid to say anything. And then we come to the point people will start teaching that it's wrong to do that. I'm telling you right now, it's not wrong to go to someone and tell them you are wrong. And I'm going to show you this in the Bible. In chapter 2, in verse 11, it says, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled themselves likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with this dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We, who are Jews by nature, are not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I have destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. All right, so we see a situation here that Peter comes to Antioch. And it says Paul went to him. Paul says this himself. I withstood him. I went to him. I told him he was wrong. I stood before him. He didn't talk behind his back. He didn't go to other people and try to form a council. He didn't form a committee or anything like that. He knew what he saw. He knew it was wrong. And so he took action. So what was it? What was exactly going on here that he saw was wrong? Now, Peter's a Jew. Paul is a Jew. Paul said he was a Pharisee of the Pharisee, the tribe of Benjamin. He was born and bred a Jew, followed the law, had been taught the law, knew what it said, and was so adamant about it that he was getting letters so he could go and get these people of the way, Christians, those of followers of Christ, from Damascus to bring them back, be charged, and whatever would happen with that. He was very adamant, very strong about this, but yet he saw Christ on the road to Damascus. He gave his life to him and started following after him and learning after him. So Peter comes to Antioch, and Paul withstood him. The reason he withstood him is this. Peter was a Jew, but he had been a follower of Christ from the very beginning when Christ called him out there on the shores of Galilee and said, come follow me. So he was knowledgeable of Christ. Christ had taught them it's not about the law, it's about the grace of God. It's about the Son of God. It's about the Christ that died on the cross. He was there. He knew what happened. He saw him crucified. He had denied him. He knew all those things that had happened, and he saw him resurrected. So Peter had been there. He'd seen these things. He knew this. He knew the right thing. And yet, what he was doing when he came there, he was living as a Gentile. In fact, what that means is he wasn't following the law anymore because he knew he was saved by grace, not by works, not by those things that were in the law. But when the Jews came around, he went with them. And he started telling the Gentiles, well, you got to live like a Jew because... What was he doing? He was trying to appease those that came around. He was being a politician, basically, waffling, going with whatever way the wind blows, the polls. He was looking at the polls. You can say whatever you want to, but when he was with the Gentiles, he was telling the Gentiles, no, it's okay. But when the Jews came around, he got afraid. He said, because he fearing them, which were of the circumcision, the Jews, those that were saying, you have to be a Jew in order to get to heaven. You have to follow after Judaism to get to heaven. You have to follow after the law. He feared them. See that? It says fearing them. In verse 12, at the end of that, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing the Jews. He was fearing them of the circumcision. He had a fear in him. And this is what I see so much in our world today. We see people that are garnered and following after fear. They're doing things because they fear. The people that they're around, they fear. Maybe it's someone that, they look up to somebody and they have a different idea. Instead of saying, no, I think you're wrong, and here's why, they'll just go along with it. Well, let's just do this. It'll be okay, and it can be following after a group. I'm telling you right now, it can be following after an association. Maybe they're wrong. Maybe they're doing the things wrong. It may be a person that they look at. I'm telling you what, I've stood before people that other people just revered, and because they said something wrong and they disagreed with me, but I still told them, this is what the Bible says. And they said to me, well, there's exceptions. Well, there's no exceptions in the Bible. There is no exceptions in the Bible. So if somebody tells you that, I'm telling you right now, they're telling you something wrong. There are no exceptions in the Bible. It's the way it is. We have exceptions, and we may try to explain things away, and it may be something we don't even understand. I'm telling you right now that there are things in the Bible I have a tough time understanding. Even Peter said it about Paul. He said, he says some things that are tough to understand. It's tough to get. But Peter was doing something wrong. See, he was waffling back and forth. He knew that we were saved by grace, not by works, not by the law. But yet when the Jews came around and were saying, it's by the law, he was fearful of them and what they would do. I don't know if he feared physical harm. I don't know if he just feared being out of the loop or being ostracized. That's what I think it probably was. He didn't want them to look down on him. He didn't want them to look at him and say, well, you can't hang out with us anymore. It was kind of that peer pressure type thing. It's what I really think. I don't know that for sure. I just know he feared, and he decided to separate himself. And instead of eating with the Gentiles, instead of hanging around them, he said, I can't do that anymore. My Jew buddies are here. And that I've got to hang out with them because they're of the law and they're Jews. And so these are the guys I'm going to hang out with. And I can't do that anymore, guys. I know I was eating with you yesterday, but not today. We can't do that. We can't do that. We can't, even I'm telling you right now, when you get saved, yes, you are a new person, but you're not to look down on other people and go, I'm better than you now. I can't hang out with you. You may not want to hang out with them because they do things that would cause you to sin, and you may tell them that, but you need to let them know, hey, I love you. I still love you. I want you to accept Christ. If they decide to separate from you, then that's their choice. But you need to let them know, I'm saved, but I still love you. I want you to accept Christ as well. And so Peter does this. He separates himself. He'd been with these guys. Can you imagine what these new Christians, these Gentiles, were thinking? Peter comes in and he tells them about Jesus Christ. They get saved. He's eating with them. He's staying with them, which a Jew is not supposed to do. And then when the new guys come to town, he says, oh, wait a minute, you know, I don't like them really. You know, and he turns his back on them. Can you imagine what these guys thought? Probably, well, does this really mean anything? Is this really the truth? Is what he told us the right thing? Because now he won't even talk to us. Now he says he's better than us. Now he says he's got to go back to the law. And now he's telling us that if we want to be Jew or be Christians, that we have to convert to being a Jew. That we have to start following those things. I imagine it was devastating to them. I imagine it hurt them very bad. And this is why Paul came and he said, I withstood him to his face. He heard what was going on. He saw what was going on. And he said he came and he talked to him. And he did not do it behind his back. The bad thing about this, you look, he said even Barnabas was taken in by this. See, this peer pressure, this kind of thing, it's infectious. It spreads. When we start telling people we're better than them, when we start making them think we're better than them, it's infectious. It starts infecting those around us. When we start telling people that, you know, our church is better than your church, even though you're teaching the same things and you're preaching the same things, or you're not really a church, that's infectious. It's infectious and it's wrong and it's bad. And it hurts the cause of Christ, just like this did. And Paul knew that. So he comes to Peter and he tells him these things. He said, you're wrong. He asked him, he said, are you really better than this? Are you really going to be like this? So we need to talk to one another. He said, we who are Jews by nature are not sinners of the Gentiles. He said, we're not like them. I understand that. We're Jews by nature. We know the law. They didn't know the law. They didn't follow the law. We followed the law. Peter, Paul. And then he says in verse 16, knowing. Now he's talking to Peter. He said, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. He said, Peter, you know this. You know what the truth is. That's bad when I see someone that knows what the truth is and they're not following after it. They decide that, well, it's not valid now. You know, their situations have changed. When I see a church, a pastor change because the situation changed, I think of this right here. See, Peter's situation changed. He knew this. He said, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. He said, Peter, you know this. And Peter knew this, and he knew exactly what the right thing was. But when the situation changed, he changed. It's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to stay the same. We're supposed to keep upright. We're supposed to follow the law. Even though, I'm telling you what, it may involve your family. And that's a bad situation. I know that things happen with our families, and there are times that our family doesn't do what they're supposed to, and they follow after some weird doctrine, or they change, and then I've seen this time and time again, people change. Well, you know, I've had to rethink this, is what they'll tell me. What did you have to rethink? Your situation changed. What your thinking process now is, I care more about my family than I do about this Bible. But see, we can go to someone, and we can tell them the truth, and it's okay. Now, they may not accept it. They may not like it. They may not look at us and go, hey, well, thank you so much. I've gone to people before, and I will tell you, most of the times they don't go, well, I appreciate that, man. You know, you got me back on the right track. Every once in a while, that's the truth. Most of the time, they get mad. Because, see, they've already decided what they want to do. They've already decided they want to separate from the truth. They've already decided that they no longer want to do this, and they will get angry at you because you pointed it out, and they will tell other people that, well, you did this and you did that. I've had family members come to me and tell me things about someone in their own family that needs corrected, that they don't want to correct, and I've gone to them as a pastor and talked to them and told them, you know, this is what the Bible says, and you are out of line. You're doing things that disqualify you from teaching, maybe. And then that very family member that came to me and wanted me to do something got mad at me for saying something and doing exactly what they wanted to do. See, the situation governed them. The Bible should govern our situation, not the situation governing what we believe in the Bible. It is what it is, and it says what it says. He said, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Folks, that's what it boils down to right now. It's by faith in Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ, there is no salvation. There's no other name by whereby you must be saved than Jesus Christ. He did it himself. Hebrews tells us that his blood was better than bulls and goats. It was better than that sacrifice. It was the best. He brought the best. He gave that sacrifice. We no longer need those things. The law no longer governs us. Paul said it was a schoolmaster that pointed him toward Christ. Does it still tell us things that are valid today? You bet. Will it save you? No. It will not save you. The law will not save you. Is it good to look at them and know these things? Did God give it to us for a reason? Yeah. Yeah. It shows us the way. It shows us we're sinners. It shows us that there's no way we can measure up to God's law, God's way. They couldn't do it. They needed a Savior. All those Jews that were following after that a whole time, they needed a Savior. And when he came to them, they wanted to reject him. They crucified him. He allowed himself to die on that cross for us. Isn't that great? He said, it's in faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Won't do it. Won't do it. It was a precursor. They had to continually do it. They had to continually bring sacrifices. The high priest continually had to do all these things in order for them to be justified. Why? Because it doesn't justify. It was just a precursor. And so Paul comes to him and he tells him the truth and he continues on talking to him. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is sin. Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? I said, God forbid. He said, you're putting Jesus in the wrong place, man. You're getting this all. You're just messing it up, Peter. You're just messing it up, and you're telling these people the wrong thing. See, he was giving the wrong message. There are false messages out there. People, I'm going to tell you what. I've listened to them on the radio where they're false messages. I've seen them on television where they're false messages. They're getting up there and they're preaching things that are wrong. And if you say anything about them, well, they've got a big ministry. I don't care if they got a big ministry. Peter had a big following, apparently. He had people, Paul said he faced him in front of them. He said this in front of them. He didn't go behind his back. He went to him. He said he withstood him to his face. And he said, and before that certain came, James. Then Peter went wrong, and then he went to him, and he talked to him. See, he talked to him in front of everyone. He didn't wait. He said, I want everybody to hear this. He said, I want you to understand. I want you to understand from me. He was telling them the truth. We got to tell the truth. Folks, I'm telling you, people don't want to hear the truth. Today, they don't want to hear the truth. When you get in the pulpit and you start preaching the truth, people are going to back up. Some are going to come, but there are going to be a lot. They're not going to be happy about it. Why? Because it's offensive. The gospel is offensive. Why? Because it tells us that we are sinners. It tells us that we no way can get to heaven on our own. That there is no way that we can attain God's aim, his goal. His point that we need to get to. We can't do that. So what do we have to do? We have to bring it to Christ. We have to say, Lord, I want to accept you, your sacrifice, what you did. I'm going to follow after you. I'm going to give my life to you. That's what we have to do. It's faith in Jesus Christ. We can't do anything for ourselves. There is nothing we can do to get to salvation except accept it. Take it. Say, Lord, you did it. I want to accept it. That's the only thing we can do. We can't work our way into heaven in any way. That's what it says right now. The law didn't do it. So how do we figure out that we can do certain things? I've had people tell me, well, you know, I don't want to get saved right now. I've got to get my life right. That's not the way it works. You get saved and you allow Christ to make your life right. He will do those workings within your life. He will change your attitude. He will change your want to. He'll change everything about you. Do we mess up? Sure. Was Peter saved? Sure. Did he mess up? Sure. Yeah, he did. He was messing up. He was caught up in this head game of I want to be popular. I don't want anybody to be upset with me. You know, sometimes people are going to get upset with you when you tell them the truth. They're not going to like it. But that doesn't mean we back up and we don't tell them the truth. Oh, well, you know, they do too much work around here. We don't really need to do that because it... Then you get up and do something. See, that's what it is. It's fear. Well, they're doing everything, and I don't really want to have to do anything. You know, folks, I'm going to tell you what. Our churches need a gut check. We need a gut check, and we need to really get down to business and figure out how many... Are you really saved? Are you really following Christ? Are you willing to follow Him? Are you willing to do what it takes? What happens if something happens in our nation that we don't have the freedom that we do right now? And our freedoms are slowly being taken away. And if you don't believe that, go back to 2020 and you see what they did and you see what's going on right now. You see the attacks that are going on churches and things right now that are in the news. And you have to search for them because they're not going to bring them out and just tell you there's an all-out attack. But there is an all-out attack on Christianity. There's an all-out attack on churches. And everything that happens is, well, those right-wing Christian guys, and they're doing all this, and they're the ones causing all this problem, even though they're trying to help and they're trying to do things. Churches are being defamed. Churches are being burned. They're being destroyed. They're being shot at. All these kinds of things. It's under attack, and it's going to keep getting worse. What's going to happen? Are you going to just say, oh, well, I'll go and hide? I'll go with my buddies over here, and I'll say, oh, well, you know, I agree with you right now, you know, but when I go in church, I'm going to say something different. Happening too much. We need to be saying the same thing out of church we're saying in church. We need to be standing up boldly. Our churches need a gut check. Need to find out, are we really in it or are we not? Are we there just so that we can get some people in, so we can have some programs, so we can do some things? VBSers are going on right now, and I'm not opposed to Vacation Bible School at all. But I'm telling you what, some people, that's all they live for and that's all they think about, and they think that they've done their service to God if they have a Vacation Bible School and they give the kids enough Kool-Aid and stuff, or they have enough rides and stuff to get them in there. It's not about that. It's about telling them about Jesus Christ. It's about trying to get the whole family in there. I'm telling you what, I've been to youth rallies where people were wearing suits. Kids were wearing suits. Men got up there and they just preached. They didn't have a big band and lights going everywhere, and kids were getting saved. Lives were being changed. You say, oh, that can't happen. I've seen it happen. I know it does. You don't have to have all these party stuff and all this stuff for them and to say, oh, well, we had a big concert, and you know, and everybody was having fun. Yeah, they were walking around, you know, in clothes that you wouldn't really want your kid walking around in, and we allowed them to do that, but we were having a good time. We were popular for a little while. It's not about being popular. It's about spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's about letting them know about those things. So if you think your programs and all that stuff is going to get you into heaven or you're doing God's service. How many times in Sunday school teachers, have you just broke it down and said, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is how you get saved. Instead of just telling them a little story or giving them a little snack or whatever. Tell them this is what it's all about. I want you to understand that. We got so caught up in all these things, we're doing just like Peter. We're acquiescing to the world. We're doing what the world wants us to do. We're getting our little huddle groups and we're saying, oh, well, yeah, it's all about Jesus. But we don't act like that. We act like the world. That's the problem we've got. And churches that don't, we look at them and go, oh, they're too radical. Don't want to be a part of them. No, man, I've heard it from the pulpit. You know, we shouldn't be saying certain things. You know, because if we say this, it kind of makes it look like we're nuts. Well, what do you think they thought about Jesus? What do you think they thought about Paul? These people, they didn't accept them. they said about Paul, said, we got to do something about this guy. They're turning the world upside down. When's the last time that was said about a church in the United States? They're turning the world upside down. They're messing with us. They're changing things. They're bringing this gospel in, and we need to do something about this. That's what they were doing about these early Christians. They were looking at them going, hey, something's wrong here. We got too complacent. We think that we've got it all made and everything's going to be okay. We're like the frog in the boiling water, and it's so hot right now, we don't even realize it because it's just been slowly getting hot, and we won't even think about it. We need to get out of that hot water, and we need to say, hey, we're not going to put up with this anymore. We're going to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to preach the gospel. We're not going to have a bunch of wishy-washy things. We're not doing what the world wants us to anymore. We're not going to come up with all these neat little things and come out and look like the world and be like them. We're going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul talks about. He said, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Well, that ought to be a statement on each and every lip of every child of God throughout the world. Here in the United States, everywhere. That ought to be on us. I live because of Christ. Why? Because he loved me. And who is he? The Son of God. That ought to be on our mantra everywhere. Yes, this is who he is. Yes, he is the Son of God. We ought to be willing to stand and talk to reporters about that. It just burns me up when these guys say, well, I wouldn't say that there's only one way to heaven. Jesus Christ said there's only one way to heaven. John 14:6, he laid it out pretty plainly. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through me. No one. But yet we want to step back and go, well, you know, we got to be peaceful. We don't have to be mean about this. He wasn't mean. He was telling the truth. See, we mistake that for meanness and malice. Of telling the truth, of saying what's right and what's wrong, and we've let the people define that. Well, if you say that, then you're this or you're that. No, I'm a follower of Christ. That's why I said that. That's why I tell you that sin is sin. That's why I tell you these things. That's why I let you know, so that you can know, so that you know the truth. He said, knowing this, knowing that no man cometh by the works of the law. No man is justified by it. No man is made right by it. See, we want people to know. Telling the truth is not meanness. Telling the truth is not wrong. It's correct. And we should be doing it. I'm going to tell you right now today, if you're outside of the will of God, if you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're going to hell. And God does not want you to. He wants you to accept His Son. He wants you to accept that free gift of salvation. And it is a free gift of salvation, but it's so hard to accept because we have to give up of ourselves. We have to give up the world. We have to give over everything and say, Lord, this is yours. You guide my life. You change me. You justify me because I know I can't do it. And that's a pride issue. It's tough to do. But let me ask you, all your things that you're doing, how's that working out for you? Where's it taking you? Church, by going with the world and doing all those things and doing exactly what they said and what they want you to do, how's that really working out for you? Maybe you're popular. Maybe you're filling it up. But are you seeing lives changed? You can today. I'm going to challenge you today to be like Paul. Withstand them. stand up today and say, no, that's wrong. That's not right. Jesus Christ is. Because he is the only one that's right. He's the only one that will ever be right. Justified by faith in Jesus Christ today. Are you? My name is Charles Morgan. I'm with Word is Live Ministries. Thank you for allowing me to be with you.